Would the House please come to order? Would members please indicate their presence by voting? Does any member fail to vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
31 members present.
Madam Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, Representative Gary Davis is excused from the call of the House today. And Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Betty Davis and Representative Mark Hanley be excused from a call of the House today due to illness, and that Representative Eileen McLean be excused from a call of the House today due to a family emergency.
The members that are ill are automatically excused. Is there objections to Representative McLean being excused? There being none, those members will be excused. The invocation today. Back to order. Invocation today will be by Representative Parnell. Would the members please rise for invocation?
Let us pray. Father God, you have given us this institution we know as the legislature to do the will of your people here in this state and as members of this country. We recognize that over the last year, our presidential campaigns have caused divisiveness, have laid bare some old wounds, and we also recognize that our actions in this body sometimes lay bare some wounds. We thank you for the healing and restoration that only you can bring. And we ask you, Lord, that you would be with us and guide our decision-making throughout this day, throughout this week, and throughout this coming year. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Would Representative Larson please lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Menard.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I just consent to the prayer be spread on the journal.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the prayer will be spread on the journal. This brings us down to certification of the journal. Would the clerk please certify as to the correctness of the journal for the previous legislative day?
I hereby certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 38th legislative day.
Madam Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for
approval of certification of the journal as read by the clerk.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the journal is certified. This brings us down to introduction of guest. The guest of introduction, Representative Oberg.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. In the Taylor Gallery, I'd like to introduce three constituents of mine. Perhaps you could wait and applaud them all at the same time. From Valdez, Councilwoman Helen Wade. Also from Valdez, Jane Sontag, Executive Director of the Prince William Sound Ardor Program. And from Glen Allen, Donna Tolman, Executive Director of the Copper Valley Ardor Program.
Further guests for introduction. There being none, this brings us down to messages from the governor.
I have none, Madam Speaker.
Messages from the other body.
A message to the House dated February 1793. The Senate passed and returned Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 68 Finance. Effective date failed. Senate. An act making a supplemental appropriation for certain elections for educational attendance area school boards and coastal resource service area boards. The report was signed by Nancy Quinto, Secretary.
Communications.
I have none, Madam Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Resources Committee has considered Executive Order Number 86 regarding the Division of Fisheries Rehabilitation, Enhancement, and Development. With no recommendation, signing DuPass, Hudson, Bundy, Williams, no recommendation, Carney, Green, James, and Davies. The report is signed by Chairman Williams. A zero fiscal note for Fish and Game is attached. EO 86 is now referred to the Finance Committee.
Report to special committees.
I have none, Madam Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
Honoring Captain Thomas C. Lilly, USAF, by Representatives Cott Willis, Carney, Foster, Martin, Mulder, Navarre, Senator Halford, Phillips, and Lehman. Honoring United Way of the Tanana Valley by Representative Bryce. Honoring James B. Hermiller by Senator Pierce. Honoring Kiana Lynx basketball team by Senator Adams and Representative McLean. Honoring Soldotna High School girls basketball team 1993 4A girls state champions, Senator Little and Representative Davies. House Joint Resolution Number 29 by Representatives Finkelstein, Grusendorf, Sitton, Bryce, B. Davis, Carney, and Ulmer, requesting the Congress of the United States to pass legislation to permit the export of Alaska crude oil.
House Special Committee on Oil and Gas, Resource and Finance Committees.
I have no other citations or resolutions for introduction.
This brings us down to introduction, first reading, and reference of House Bill.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill Number 12 by Representatives B. Davis, Ulmer, Nordland, and Bryce, entitled An Act Relating to Health Insurance for Small Employers and Providing for an Effective Date.
Health, Education, Social Services, Labor, Commerce, Judiciary, and Finance Committees.
House Bill Number 162 by Representative Sanders, entitled An Act Authorizing Capital Punishment, Classifying Murder in the First Degree as a Capital Felony, and Establishing Sentencing Procedures for Capital Felonies, authorizing an advisory vote on instituting capital punishment, amending Alaska Rules of Criminal Procedures 32, 32.1, and 32.3, and Alaska Rules of Appellate Procedures 204, 209, 210, and 212, and providing for an effective date.
Judiciary and Finance Committees.
House Bill Number 163 by Representative B. Davis, entitled An Act Requiring the Department of Health and Social Services to Provide Voter Registration Information to a Person Seeking Public Assistance and Providing for an Effective Date.
State Affairs, Health, Education, Social Services, and Finance Committees.
House Bill Number 164 by Representative Phillips, entitled An Act Relating to Motor Vehicle Dealers and to Agents for Motor Vehicle Buyers and Providing for an Effective Date.
Labor and Commerce and Judiciary Committees.
House Bill Number 165 by Representative Bryce, entitled An Act Requiring Annual Adjustment of the Instructional Unit Value in the Foundation Formula and Providing for an Effective Date.
Community Regional Affairs, Health, Education, Social Services, and Finance Committees.
House Bill Number 166 by Representative Bundy, entitled An Act Relating to Enhanced 911 Emergency Reporting Systems and Providing for an Effective Date.
Community and Regional Affairs and Finance Committees.
I have no other bills for introduction.
This brings us down to consideration of the daily calendar. Madam Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citations on today's calendar be adopted. Those citations being honoring C. Waco Shelley, honoring Bill Coghill and Eleanor Thompson, 1992 Kenai Chamber of Commerce President Award winners. Honoring Anastasia Anna Cook. Honoring Kenai Senior Center, 1992 Kenai Chamber of Commerce Special Service Award. Honoring Kenai Middle School 6th Grade Quest Team. Honoring Peninsula Flooring, 1992 Kenai Chamber of Commerce Community Service Award. And in memoriam, Ruth Lillian McVeigh Popjoy.
Is there objections to the citations appearing on today's calendar? Hearing none, those citations are adopted. This brings us down to unfinished business. Is there unfinished business, Madam Majority Leader?
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the following members be excused from a call of the House for the following dates. Representative Martin from 12:30 p.m. until 3:30 p.m. Friday, February 19th, and Representative Hoffman from 5 p.m. Friday, February 19th until 8:45 p.m. Sunday, February 21st.
Whether and without objection, those members will be excused on those dates. Representative Porter.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would move and ask unanimous consent that the Judiciary Committee be allowed to waive hearing of HB 134, an act relating to temporary transfers of commercial fishing entry permits.
There is objection.
Brief and easy, please.
Thank you. The provision of HB 134 is provided to, has been assigned to four committees. It has been reviewed and voted by majority vote in the Judiciary Committee that it is not necessarily an appropriate referral to Judiciary. It provides for the allowance of a permit holder over 65 years of age or older who has held that permit for 10 years to be able to transfer on a year-to-year basis that permit if he or she, the 65 or older person, is medically unable to perform the duties required or the activities required to activate the permit. I do not see any legal issues. It's a policy question, and it has three other committee referrals.
Representative Mackey, you're seeking the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I objected only to ask for an at-ease, not to debate the bill. I'm sure the bill is probably a very good bill that I eventually will support, but could we have an at-ease, please?
Certainly.
Thank you.
House, please come back to order. Representative Mackey, you're seeking the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I had an opportunity to speak with the Judiciary Chair during the at-ease, and I just want to explain why I objected, if I may.
Representative Mackey, if you would yield to Representative Porter, I think he plans to withdraw his motion.
Well, I'd like to just explain why I objected.
Fine.
For the record, Madam Speaker, and that is that I don't object to any opportunity that we have to help senior citizens or any special class of citizens that are in need, including children and other things. Being a commercial fisherman myself and being a permit holder in the limited entry system, I'm well aware of the complexities that are involved with that law. And the only reason that I objected and that I suggested that the Judiciary Committee hear this piece of legislation is this limited entry system was put into place by the voters of the state. And I just want to be sure that there isn't some legal aspects of what is trying to be done here that isn't going to conflict with the law or with the intent and cause us some problems later on down the road. I support the intent of what the sponsor is trying to do. However, that's the purpose of having the committee process where you have resources, you have Judiciary, you have Finance to look at all angles of any legislation to make sure what we're doing is proper and legal. And I'm not trying to be a pain in anybody's side, Madam Speaker. I'm just suggesting that it's early in the session. There's actually no need to ram things through and wave things out of committees unless the Judiciary Chair or the representative from Unalaska can stand up and tell me unequivocally that it doesn't have any problems, then I don't have any really have that many problems with it. So I mean, that's my problem. Thank you.
Representative Porter, you're seeking the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'll have to admit that there are not a whole lot of limited entry permits issued for Lake Otis, which is in the middle of Midtown Anchorage. Consequently, this is not a body of expertise that I possess. I have, as has been indicated, had discussion with colleagues regarding the potential for some legal questions regarding this bill. I agree, and consequently, I will ask to remove my motion, and we will desire to hear it.
There are objections to the motion that was made by Representative Porter being withdrawn. There being none, the motion is adopted. Representative Navarro, you're seeking the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Could we go back up the calendar to introduction of guests?
We certainly may. Without objection, we're under introduction of guests.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. In the Warren Taylor Gallery, a friend and the head of the Kenai Peninsula Economic Development District constituent, Stan Stedman.
Other guests for introduction? Being none, this brings us back down the calendar to unfinished business, further unfinished business. Announcements of committee meetings. Special orders. Representative Brown, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, and I've asked that a memorandum be distributed to the members that deals with a subject that I spoke on recently on the floor related to ethics and the open meetings law. I'd like to request permission to amplify on this at this time.
Without objection, you have the floor, Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I know that this topic is of interest to the body, and I wanted to share with you this opinion. Madam Speaker, as you know, you and I discussed this situation following my prior remarks on the floor, and I've asked that our legal advisors look at this and give us some guidance on it. I would urge the members to read it, and I won't summarize all the different points, because I think one thing that comes away from a reading of this opinion is that it is unclear in a number of respects what guidelines we must follow and what the situation actually is, particularly as it applies to caucuses. And Madam Speaker, while it's true that the courts, when they've looked at this issue regarding caucuses in the past, have determined that caucuses are private associations, I think there is a very good argument that perhaps hasn't been made or considered by the courts directly, and that would be to what extent a caucus that involves a majority of a body, either a majority of the entire body or a majority of a subunit of this body, when those subgroups meet to have substantive debate and to attempt to resolve the issues before us, to what extent that falls under the open meeting law and what our obligations as lawmakers are. The issue of political strategy, which is specifically allowed under the new ethics law, is discussed on page 2 of this opinion. As our drafter says, and if I might have leave to read a couple of sentences here, she says, "Unfortunately, I cannot think of a single example of a matter that might come up during a caucus. It can really be said not to have a substantive aspect. Therefore, it seems to me that either AS 2460-037 allows any matter to be dealt with during a private caucus, or it allows no matter to be dealt with in a private caucus. There is no logically consistent approach I can think of that will permit a middle course. Perhaps the guidelines, when they are finally adopted by the Ethics Committee, will clarify this." And that isn't a lot of help, Madam Speaker, in the practical situation. I would suggest that as members, we ought to be extremely cautious about how we conduct business in private and informal sessions, and that we ought to steer clear of substantive discussions that have the effect of determining the outcome of matters that will either come before committees or before this body. Thank you.
Representative Carney, you're seeking the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, yesterday our minority leader made a fine, eloquent statement about Elizabeth Brodovich, and she talked about how Elizabeth Brodovich stood in the gallery and spoke in debate on the Senate floor, and I thought that sounded really nice to me. It sounded like something that I wished we were still able to do with the public. And for some time, I've been concerned about the militant approach to the rule not to talk across the railing to the people in the gallery. But this morning, I come in and I see a sign that says that we shall not be talking across that railing. And I don't think that that sends the right message to the people who come here to see us. When there's an at ease, I like to be able to go back and say hi to my friends. And I don't see how that disrupts the proceedings. So I would request, Madam Speaker, that you reconsider and take that sign down. Thank you.
Representative Sanders, you're seeking the floor.
Madam Speaker, I request permission of the floor to speak on the matter of the piece of legislation that I introduced today, House Bill 162.
Without objections, you have the floor, Representative Sanders.
The primary purpose of this bill is to authorize imposition of the death penalty in cases of first-degree murder only. Imposing the death penalty for the crime of first-degree murder is consistent with the criminal sentencing goals of deterrence and community condemnation. There's a growing sense that there's no real justice in America anymore. Public support for the death penalty is higher now than it's been in recent decades. and this reflects the feeling that there are some crimes so heinous that the death penalty is the only appropriate sentence. Certainly, first-degree murder is such a crime. As Justice Stewart stressed in the landmark case of Furnham versus Georgia, when people begin to believe that organized society is unwilling or unable to impose upon criminal offenders the punishment they deserve, then there are sown the seeds of anarchy, of self-help, vigilante justice, and lynch law. In light of this saying, I urge your support of House Bill 162.
Representative Finkelstein, you were seeking the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Request permission of the floor to speak on open meetings.
Without objection, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Legal opinion handed out isn't particularly helpful. Has anyone read over it? Because it just says there are two possible readings. I'm recalling all the discussions that occurred in the conference committee when this provision was put in. It was part Senate, part House. All the other members of the conference committee are now in the other body, except myself. But what it comes down to, just so everyone knows, is the sentence basically says the open meetings guidelines, which will be drawn up by this new ethics committee, will allow closed caucuses between legislators in which political strategy is discussed. It's not going to allow closed caucuses where substance is discussed. That's the differentiation that was intended by the conference committee and by the legislature. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further special orders. Representative Mackey, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I also would like permission of the floor to speak on the gallery.
Without objection, you have the floor.
Thank you. I'd like to echo my friend from Wasilla's comments about the gallery. With all due respect, Madam Speaker, nowhere in the rules does it say that conversation can't occur across the gallery. It only says that that is under the control of the speaker. So I also appeal to you to perhaps reconsider. And the reason for my appeal is that a lot of times people go to great expense and inconvenience to travel to Juneau to come to visit the legislature, or sometimes they might be passing through and only have a few minutes, or a lot of times, as many of us on this floor know, we don't have as much time available on our schedules as we would like to have to be able to meet with all the number of people that would like to see us. And sometimes if some of our constituents only have a few minutes to stop in and have the honor of sitting in the gallery and observing us in session, a brief handshake and a hello over the railing of the gallery during an at-ease or prior to session really goes a long way. It wasn't that long ago that I, as a member of the public, used to like to come and observe the legislature, and certainly any opportunity I had to say hello to a representative was a big deal to me then, and I would assume would be a big deal to a lot of members of the public who have an interest in our system. I know that a number of the rural legislators especially have large contingents of constituents that come to town to lobby for their village or community's behalf, and a lot of times it only takes a second. I really haven't seen the kind of abuse that might be anticipated. I understand your concern about some of the issues that have been raised in the press recently regarding notes and those kind of things. I could understand your need to limit any of that kind of activity, especially during session or anything, but if you would consider perhaps allowing those cordial acknowledgments, I think people would be less offended, especially our constituents, by that. Thank you.
The speaker feels compelled to answer at this time. When I first came to this legislature, and through the early years that I was here, the decorum in this body was such that no one took offense to not talking across the gallery, because it simply was not done. If a member had constituents that they wished to talk to, nothing stopped them from walking through those doors, going into the gallery, and shaking their hands. What Speaker has observed over the last few years is not only has staff been passing notes to legislators across those galleries, but staff has been going, or legislators have been going back to the back of the gallery and getting information from their staff, which is properly done outside those doors, not across those galleries. This speaker wants to see the decorum to be such that while we welcome our constituents into these galleries, that you feel free to go there into the galleries and chat with them. But it's inappropriate to chat over the gallery. Further special orders. Representative Davidson, you're seeking the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I request permission of the body to speak on floor decorum.
Representative Davidson, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I applaud the Speaker's efforts to improve the decorum on the floor of this body. In the short time that I've been here, I've witnessed people not only speaking across these little short walls, but also climbing over them both ways. I've witnessed people eating on the floor. One of the things that I recall, my neighbor, Representative, the former Representative Mike Miller of Juneau, indicated in one of his discussions that the thing about each member's desk is that it is absolutely off limits to anybody else. You do not touch, you do not read, you not even look on other people's desks. So I applaud the efforts of the Speaker to maintain some decorum, and while it is unfortunate that we sometimes are inconvenienced, I still think that a sense of decorum for this body is absolutely necessary, and I appreciate the Speaker's efforts. Thank you.
Other special orders, Representative Navarre, you're seeking the floor.
Permission to speak on the same subject.
You have the floor, Representative Navarre.
Madam Speaker, I guess I hate these microphones, first of all, because they're always feeding back to me, but I just want to say that I think that the talking over the galleries, maybe we ought not to hand any notes over there, and you ought to go outside if you want to discuss an issue with someone, but oftentimes the galleries are so full, and the waiting out in the hall, there's so many people waiting out in the hall that you can't get into the gallery to get over to say hello to someone. And I think that having the ability and the courtesy to say hello to someone who you haven't seen or who's in town is something that perhaps ought to be allowed, particularly when we're at ease. There really has been no harm done by that. If the specific purpose is an at ease to talk to someone in the gallery about an issue, you can go outside in the hallway. But if it's an at-ease where you're having a discussion with your majority leader or the minority leader or whoever else, it doesn't really seem like there's much harm to it. And if we really wanted to do it in a democratic fashion within a Republican form of government, we could have a majority vote.
Representative Sitton, were you seeking the floor? Further special orders. Madam Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Friday, February 19th.
We're adjourned.